all of your fear, your confusion, your worry, your complaints, your failures, anything that's not working out the way you want things to work out, or the way you know things should work out, it's all because it's happening outside of Jesus. Listen, we're going to bring this thing in the center this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we'll learn about Christ this morning. We'll learn about Christ in us, and we'll learn about Christ as us to live the Christ life. Listen, all your failures outside of Christ. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. You don't have to lose. You don't have to fail. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be confused. Those things are byproducts of being on the outside of Christ. I'm not talking about outside of church. I'm not talking about outside of religion. I'm talking about the personality of Christ. Everybody say the personality of Christ. I'm going to say it again. The personality of Christ. So we don't have to lose. We don't have to fail. We don't have to fear if we place our understanding in the right place. I'll go to Matthew chapter 11. And we start off at verse 27. And I just don't want you to leave your revelation. I know you done read this one before, but leave what you got before just so we can get something fresh this morning. I always say that same thing. Sometimes we come to church with our preconceived ideas, and when somebody goes to our favorite scriptures, we done got our word already in our head set, and we can't even hear nothing new. Amen? So Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, those words are read in the Bible, so there's Jesus talking. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get in the Gospels. And let me prelude this, and I say this over and over again. I'm going to say it forever. I'm going to say it till Jesus come back, until I go to see him, that the Gospels is where your life is. Listen, the whole Bible is of God. But right there in them red words is where the personality of God stood up and started talking to you about you. It all became the word that John chapter 1 started and said, and the word became flesh and dwelled among us. It took it off the page and put it in my heart. It took it out the ink and put it in my everyday living lifestyle. It showed me how to be powerful as Christ. Are y'all listening to me? But if I don't spend those time in the Gospels, then everything else that I'm in won't be empowered. You can read Proverbs. I did it, Proverbs. You know, they got 31 days in a month, so you read 31 Proverbs. Amen. God bless all that. And you can read your devotions. God bless all that. And you can read your books. God bless all that. But those red words, the words that Jesus said, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Listen to me. So everything is empowered by Christ. So look at another neighbor and tell them, get in them Gospels. This process, and I have to prelude by this before I get into what I want to get into, and I'm going to say it over and over again, that this process is an ongoing daily process that you can't just do it on Sunday, you can't just do it on midweek service, you can't just do it on a special meeting. It's a daily process and a daily learn. Listen, I'm going to preach a good message this morning, but this message is not going to finish it for you. The only person that can finish it for you is the Father in you when you realize he's in you. Your relationship, your time, the time that you spend. I was reading Tuesday, I was able to minister the word of God and got an opportunity to do it. And we were talking about Mark 4, and it talks about the different types of ground. The different types of soil. This is you, it's talking about you. You know you're made from the dust, right? Amen. You know you're made from the dust, right? So he's talking about what kind of ground are you? Have you cultivated yourself enough that when the personality of Christ shows up to you, will you recognize it? Will you bear the fruit? See, it's a daily thing. It's over. All the other stuff is over. I'm sorry. I know when you got born again. You got born again some years ago, and you thought it was gonna be one way, but it's over now. It's gonna change your whole being. The going to church to do my due diligence is over. It's over. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's over. Going to do my normal prayer so that I can please God. That's over. We're talking personality now. We're talking lifestyle now. We're talking takeover now. All those old things are over. We're getting to a place now, and I thank God for Apostle. Listen. We're getting to a place now where we have to learn how to receive the personality. How to perceive and then receive. How to be able to see further than what you see and then receive more than you knew you had. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. The time of playing is over. And I'll say it again. I said it Tuesday. I'm going to say it again today. This is not just for the reverends. I'm not just for the bishops or the preachers. This is for every single creature that's under the sound of my voice. And in this world, everybody is learning this lifestyle to live like Christ. This is not just for the people that go to ministry school. Sometimes in church, I don't have to pray as much as apostle. I don't have to give my life as much as apostle because he apostle. And so we turn ourselves into takers instead of partners. We turn ourselves into people that are dependent instead of can walk shoulder to shoulder with you and bear the burden with you. Those days are over. No more play church. It's lifestyle. Come on, everybody say it's lifestyle. Come on, say it a little louder. Say it's lifestyle. One more time, a little louder. Say it's lifestyle. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, is Jesus talking. He says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, this is our favorite one. Everybody knows this one. We read this a lot. Verse 28, read it, ready, read. Hold on, how many? How many?
All.
How many got to come?
All.
Oh, okay, start from the beginning again. Ready, read. Hold on, where do you come? Where do you come? Under who? Who's talking right there? So Jesus is saying, come unto me. Everybody say, come unto me. So now we know where we're coming. We know what we're doing. We know where we're coming. And we know how many people are supposed to come. Read it from the beginning again. Ready, read. How many of y'all work? You know how to work. Or you done some work before? Or you done, come on, labor. Come on. Come on. You labored. Anybody have any added burdens before? Anything that was kind of weighing you down? Some of y'all got something this morning, and we're going to lay them down before you leave here this morning. Amen. He said, all y'all, everybody that works and bears a burden, come to me. Read it again. Ready, read. I'll give you rest. Next verse 29, read. Find rest for your what?
Soul.
Rest for your soul. So the rest for your soul is in Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. The rest for your soul is not only in Christ, but it is in your relationship or how you relate to Christ. Because there are some things that we have to do. See, right now it is finished. Everybody say it's finished.
It's finished.
Come on, say it again. It is finished.
It is finished.
Come on, say it is done.
It is done.
Look, the Father has done everything he's going to do for us. He done paid the price. He sent Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. He lived a life in the flesh so to show us how to live. Then he died for our sins so that we don't have to die for him. Say it is finished.
It is finished.
The whole price is paid.
The whole price is paid.
So the rest for your soul is a finished work. Your soul being in a restful place is already done. There is nothing else that can be done to put your soul in a restful place. But the only thing left is I gotta move. Verse 28 says, come unto me. Everybody say, come unto me. That means you've got to make a move. You got to move from where you are now to another place. I've got to go from where I've been at with all the fear, the worry, the confusion, the disgust, the depression, the oppression, all of these things. I have to move from that place to another place in my soul. It's an active thing that I have to do. Nobody's going to carry me there. I've got to come. So now he says, come unto me, all y'all. How many of y'all? So we know it's not just for the preachers, right?
Right.
How many is for?
All.
Come on, say it's for me.
It's for me.
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. How many of y'all like rest? Versus being restless. I give you rest. If you come over here, I give you rest. If you come over here, I give you rest. Now, we like the phrase, come to Jesus. I came to know the Lord. Now, amen. Come on, church people. I came to the Lord. I came to church. I came to whatever, right? We know that. But see, you don't really understand sometimes what come really means. I looked up the word come, and the etymology is the study of words. And when you see the word come, it says appear or step into light or step into vision or step into this moment right now. Come over here while I'm at step into this moment. Come over here and step into the visibility. Come over here so you look like me. This is what I'm saying. So now when he's talking about come unto me, he said, come over here and look like me. Come over here and stand by me so we can look alike. We praise and you like we praise and we worship and we say we want to get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. The presence is a beautiful thing, right? Well, what's the point of you getting in the presence of the Lord? What you want to get in the presence for? Come on, what's your point? You want to feel good? What do we get into the presence of a person for? Learn something. And I didn't learn it this morning, but it came a little clearer to me this morning. Whenever somebody wants to, an apostle will do this sometimes. He'll invite you somewhere. Yeah. Or he'll say, hey, you want, I'll be passing by. He'll say, hey, you want to come eat with me? You know, and I got a decision to make. I'm either too busy and got my own agenda, right? Or I submit my agenda to his agenda and go with him. He'll say it slick sometimes too. He said, you eating? I said, well, yes, I'm going to sit down. And I understand why he invited me in his presence. Because in the presence is where you learn the personality. See, when you spend some time with somebody, you learn the personality. You learn the ins and outs, the ups and the downs. You even start talking different sometimes when you spend time with somebody. You even begin to function different and think differently than you were because you spent time in the presence of that person. In the presence is the personality. Say it. Come on, say it again. In the presence is the personality. So I cannot, Jews, I cannot pick up the personality of Christ without being in the presence of Christ. Come on, when we worship him, we're saying, come on, let your presence come in the room. When the presence comes in the room, you know when you fall out and you're crying and you're snotting, you ought to get up looking like Jesus. Because there's no point for the presence without the personality. What are we doing? Why are we spending the time unless we're changing from the things that we don't like about ourselves, the things that don't look like the Father, into the things that look like the Father? What's the point? Why are you even here right now in the presence of me, in the presence of Word of Life Christian Center? Why do we keep placing ourselves in this presence? That's my apostle. Okay, that's cool. Amen. God bless all that. But you need to learn the presence of your apostle. You can pick up the personality. See, the messages and the teaching, they're not just to for you to take principles and to go and work them. It's teaching you how to be a new person. It's changing your whole being. So now inside of the presence comes the personality. Inside of when I'm sitting with somebody, when I spend time with somebody, when I'm talking to somebody, when I'm paying attention to them, when I'm looking, there's things that I learned from apostle that he has never said to me. But just because I'm there, I pick it up. See, I'm not the type of person that I am, and I don't know. I don't have a lot of questions. I figure if I sit there long enough and pay attention, my questions will get answered. I figure if I do what I'm supposed to do, if I search like the Lord told me to search, and I pay attention, I focus like I'm supposed to focus, then those answers will come to me from me. They will come from the inside if I pay attention. I ain't gotta ask a lot of questions. He ain't say, come unto me and question me. Verse 29, go to verse 29. Come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Watch this, and it says, take my yoke upon you. What? Take my yoke upon you. Now, if you didn't know anything about a yoke, I don't have to go into, we didn't preach this before, but you don't have to go into it, but a yoke, there used to be a yoke of oxen. The way they yoked them is oxen or cows, whatever you want to call them, when they used to till the ground, they was walking the ground, they had a yoke. There's something they would put around their neck to keep them hooked to the trailer, and they will put a yoke to keep them hooked to another one so that both of them can pull together and both of them be worked together. So now the yoke would keep them together and in the same direction. Yeah, this cow couldn't choose to go that way. They got to go the same way. And usually whoever the stronger one was will pull the other one in that direction. So now take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon me. Lock up where I'm at. And learn how? Look at it. Say, look at it. And learn how? Learn of me. So come over here. I'm going to break it down real slow. Come over here. Because you're working hard and it's heavy. You're working hard and you ain't getting where you are. Let me be honest with you. You're working hard and you ain't getting where you really want to get to. You're putting in more work than you're getting results in. Can you tell the truth this morning? You're praying harder than you're getting results. How you've been praying harder than you're getting manifestation. Let's be honest. You've been working hard. And God bless that work hard. You should work. But you've been working hard, but you hadn't been seeing everything that you should see. So come over here because you've been working hard and it's been heavy. Come over here. Come over here. I'm going to give you some rest. I'm going to show you how to get it done without having to work so hard.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me? Take my yoke upon you. So in other words, lock yourself in here with me. You take it. Everybody say, take it. You gotta slow down and read these scriptures. Some of y'all read these scriptures before, but you gotta slow down and see what he's saying. He's not gonna put his yoke on you. You gotta take it. If he put his yoke on you, see, God is about love. One of the greatest things you've ever had in your life, you ever will have, is a choice. See, if I can't choose, then I'm a robot. If God makes me do something, then he don't really know if I love him or not. So Jesus says, take. Come over here. So it's all stuff that you got to do by faith. The gesture live by. The gesture live by. So it's all things we have to do by faith. So now we've got to make a move. So come over here. Come over in the light. Come over here and look like me. Come stand by me. Because you're working hard and you're working too hard. You're working too hard and it shouldn't have to be that difficult. Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Put the same thing that's on me on you. Whatever you see me do, you do that. Whichever way you saw me walk, you walk that way. Because remember now, when they're yoked together, ain't no choosing which way you want to go. Ain't no more way but one way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the
way.
So now when you take the yoke upon you, it's out of by faith. When you take the yoke upon you, and I'm going to show you how to do that this morning. When you take the yoke upon you, you are choosing that way. You're choosing a way. You're choosing a way other than another way. Prelude, and then I'm going to finish reading this. Everything outside of Christ, and I've said this before, everything outside of Christ and the identity of Christ is trying to teach you to be somebody else. That one hurts because there's a lot of things we do outside of Christ. I'm not talking about outside of church. I said outside of Christ. There's a lot of things that we take in that don't look like him. There are a lot of things that we partake of that don't really look like him. It don't really look like him, and then we wonder why we get the results that don't look like his, but it's because we've been eating like he ain't eating. Jesus would tell him, beware of the leaven. Beware of the Pharisees leaven, because they're going to get you to go somewhere and focus on something else that don't look like me. Everybody say, focus. Everything, listen, every single thing outside of Christ is trying to get you to be something other than that. Every single thing. Trying to get you, you think, and I'm just using this light work, but you think all them commercials you watch, you just get that. No, all them are trying to get you. Look, they're trying to get you sick.
Yeah.
Y'all be up watching TV late at night and them commercials come on, amen. And commercials come on, they start saying all the side effects. Are you feeling like this and this and this and this? And all of a sudden you start feeling like this, your arm. Is your arm hurting right now? And then all of a sudden, do you feel a tingling in your fingers? And all of a sudden, they done incepted you to put it in your mind and now you got tingling in your fingers. Now you go on to the store and get the next new pharmaceutical miracle. Because they didn't put it in your mind, your soul, your understanding, your will, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts. Then put it in your mind and got your mind to be somewhere else other than the name of Jesus. See, the truth of the matter is, I told somebody the other day and I learned this, we got to stop naming all these diseases because we're giving them character. Anytime you give something a name, you give it a character. You give it a character, you give it a being, you give it a lifestyle. And don't talk about you be talking about my, and then you call out whatever the disease is. I learned that a long time ago with Pastor. You know, my, I ain't gonna say it right now, my such and such be bothering me. Or is yours? Y'all buddies, huh? Y'all friends, huh? No, it's just a disease. Disease, dis-ease, that's all it is. It's all trying to get you to either be another way, do another thing, buy another thing. It's trying to convince you. Oh, they would love for you to be the person that buy everything they put out. Yeah, they love for you to be a buyer and not Christ. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Everything is trying to convince you to be another identity. To be another person. So say, take my yoke, take my yoke. Take it. Everybody say, take it. Say it like I said it. Say, take it. Come on, say it like I said it. Say, take it. Take the yoke upon you. It's something that you got to pick up and put on. It's something that you gotta actively pursue. It's not passive. You cannot be passive aggressive. We learn that in church sometimes. When you be smiling, no, you can't be passive aggressive with this. You have to take it and put it on. And learn of me. For I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Meekness only means that it means I got the power, but I don't be using it all over the place. I'll tear this whole thing down, but I know I don't need to tear it down because I'm supposed to be building. Yeah. Remember Jesus said, y'all don't take my life, I give it. Yeah. He said, you couldn't take me. I call legions of angels. I don't know if y'all count, and then you do the math, and I ain't got time to do the math, but they say one angel will knock out 20-something thousand people. So if a legion come down, that was the end of the world. I don't know if y'all knew that. I don't know if you really understood, but at that time, it was going to be the end of the world. Matter of fact, if it happens right now, it would be the end of the world. Everybody getting wiped out. You know that kind of, you got that kind of power, but I'm me.
Yeah.
And lowly in heart, I understand. I keep it low. I understand I'm totally dependent on the Father. I don't do nothing but what the Father tells me to do. I got this power. Everybody say, I got this power. I got this power, but I know when to use it. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You have to come to him and you have to learn of him, because if you get the power without the personality, it's going to be a problem. Lord knows, I ain't trying to be super deep. I already know I'm working on myself. Because I know if I had the power of... I don't think I'm a pretty nice person. But I know if I had the power and I could remember some of my feelings that was outside of Christ, or some of my angers, or some of the times I've been attacked, I don't know. And Jesus started talking. He said, if I with a finger, cast out. I don't know. Cock gun. What? I don't know. So I need to learn of him. So meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. Now, why does your soul need rest? Because your soul been trying to figure out how to get it done. Can I go to your house real quick? You ain't going to say amen. I mean, I'm going anyway. Listen, I'm here. I'm here. All the working, all the laboring, a lot of plans, a lot of trying to figure out how we're going to get this done, a lot of worrying, a lot of, oh, I wonder this, I wonder that, I wonder that. All that comes from your soul being somewhere else, and it needs rest. Everybody say, rest for my soul. Come on, everybody say, rest for my soul. But don't just, there's two times he said rest. Verse 28, he said, I give you rest. Then make it further, he said, I give you rest for your soul. But there's a process. I'm going to go over this again. You got to go over and over and hear. You have to hear. Come unto me. Don't go nowhere else. Don't go looking for no, come to me. All y'all, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. There's no rest outside of me. You might get a nap, but you ain't going to get rest. Verse 29. Take it. Everybody say, take it.
Take it.
I'm going to say it again. Take it.
Take it.
Take my yoke upon me. Take it. Look, on purpose, put this on you so you can stand in a certain way. Yeah. On purpose, lock yourself up with me. Many times, everybody said, grow up.
Grow up.
Come on, see, when you have to grow up and begin to pursue these things for yourself. See, I understand apostles' pursuit. I probably understand it better than any person in this room right now because just living with him and being around him and seeing him in the place, I understand his pursuit. So I understand his yoke. I understand why the confidence is there for him to function like he functions and the power flows like it does because of the personality, because he spent time in the presence. I understand his, yours though. Ours though. See, every week he's coming out laboring. Every time somebody's coming ministering, there's the same process is going on. We're trying, he don't want to carry you, he want to walk with you. Carry me, Jesus ain't no walk. You ever seen little babies? When they get old enough to walk? Come on, my little nephew DJ, he right around that time right now. He want to walk when he want to get to something. Or when he want to do something, he can pretty much walk anywhere he want to. But he still do like this. And depending on who you are, you going to pick him up or you ain't going to pick him up. Right? Sometimes pick him up and then you be carrying him around. No, put that boy down, let him walk. Right? Depending on who you are. But you're able to walk everywhere. You don't need anybody to carry you. So I got to put you down sometime and let you walk. So you walk. So what I'm telling you is walk. Take the yoke upon you and learn. Take this yoke upon you. Walk. Stop waiting for somebody to carry you. What are you going to do when they ain't there? Listen to me. What are you going to do when you can't reach them on that phone call? It's time to stand and walk. Well, I thank God. This is why I learned this from Apostle for years and years and years. He said, I want to teach you so well that if I go off, you'll be able to stand. But there's a connection. There's a process that has to happen. Jesus comes to the earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8 talks about it the best. And comes living in the same skin that you live to show you how to live as you. But there is still something that we've got to do. Jesus didn't die for you. He died as you. Listen, stop placing it somewhere else. Or stop placing it like it's a gift that somebody dropped off to your house. No, he changed you from the inside. He gave you the ability to be transformed from the inside. So now when he says, and I got to get to another scripture. Now when he says, put something on. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Whatever's been on there, whatever's past the hour, put time in it, whatever's gone. Take my yoke, because you ain't getting me in trouble this morning. Take my yoke upon you. I ain't that far in the spirit. Well, I get a yoke. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I understand. I get another yoke, boy. Take my yoke upon you. Stop. Say it.
Take my yoke upon you.
Come on, say, I must take
his
yoke
upon me.
Say it again.
Say it again.
You gotta do it. If I put the yoke on you, it's gonna be a choke.
Come on.
See, you put it on, it's a yoke. If I gotta do it for you, it's a choke. You gonna think I'm controlling you. You gonna think I'm telling you what to do. You gotta put it on. With your choice, with your liberality, you decide. There's a power in your decisions. Take it upon you. He said it like that for a reason. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Learn who I am. Listen, learn of me. So whatever comes from me, learn that. So don't say nothing that I don't say.
That's good.
Right? Don't go do nothing greater than I don't do. You get me? Don't try to handle it any way that I don't handle it, because you got to learn of me. That's the only place there's rest.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you're learning of me. So now this becomes, go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 real quick. There's a power in this. Jesus said this a lot. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. John 5:39, he says, real quick, he says, search them scriptures. Watch what he says. He said, go to Luke. I'm go ahead. Keep turning. He's John 5. He says, search the scriptures. We don't have no problem with that part. How many of y'all be reading the word daily? Don't lift your hand. But you read the word a lot during the week. Come on, how many of y'all read the word a lot during the week? Let me, hey man, so I don't get on your head later. Right? We ain't got no problem searching them. Right now you're searching, looking for Luke 9, huh? Search the scriptures. He says, search them scriptures. He said, search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. That's what you want, eternal life, right? Huh? You think you got eternal life. They ain't talking about going to heaven. Eternal life right now. Question. I got to go. Where does eternity stop and end? It don't, huh? Jesus make a statement. He was talking about tearing down the kingdom and tearing down the building and building up. He said, how you going to build it? It take all these years to build this. He said, before Moses was, I am. In other words, there's no stop of the stream of consciousness. The only thing different is your soul. The power of God is a long stream that came from the beginning all the way to the end, and it's always ongoing, and you in the middle of it working on the inside of you. Are y'all listening to me? Well, yeah, Luke 9. Well, I was saying something before then. What was I talking about before then? John 5. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. He says, and they are they, talking about them scriptures, that testify of me. Go there real quick. John chapter 5, verse 39. Then we'll go over to Luke 9. Put it up on the screen. John chapter 5, verse 39. He says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. How many of y'all think that? Yeah, y'all know you thought it. You thought this eternal life was in the scriptures. I got to understand. And they are they which testify of me. That's the same me he said, come unto me. Me. Everybody say me. See, he's making it personal. He's not sending you to the building. Oh, he's not sending you to go read it. No, he said, come here. Come to me. Come to this person right here. Me. Who that's for? That's for me. You gave it a personality. You gave it some ownership, right? When you say me, everybody say me. Come on, say me. Come on, everybody say me. Who at church this morning?
Me.
See what I'm saying? You gave it personality. You said that you are here, me. So when he says, come to me, come to this personality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So them scriptures are talking about a personality. So search them. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Oh, but the next scripture. We said, come unto me all the government labor, huh? Mm-hmm. He said, come unto me all the labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest in other scriptures, right? But you won't. Come on, Jesus is preaching this morning. Boy, Jesus got this message good. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is preaching this morning. I don't know if you hear him, but he's preaching this morning. But you won't come to me that you might have life. So there's a possibility that I can get in the scriptures and don't get to Jesus. Oh, there's a possibility that I'll know all of them by heart and still can't live the life. It's a sad thing to be learning all them scriptures and never get no life out of them. That's a sad thing to have all this fruit and never get no juice. Even talking about another scripture, he said the letter itself killeth. You try to do it by itself without the personality, it'll kill you. You will not come to me that you might have life. So now I consider my ways. Everybody say, I consider my ways. Come on, say, I got to check myself. Come on, say it again. I got to check myself. Am I going all the way to Jesus? Or do I stop? Even in the word of faith, and God bless me, even the word of faith sometimes it stops at the scripture because it tells you to get the scripture, read it over again, and confess it, but you never learn the personalities, which is where the power at. See, when Jesus speaks, things change. And when you speak as Jesus, you got to hear me now, y'all. Come on. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it loud. Say amen.
Amen.
You got to hear me now. You got to hear. Don't hear and not hear. You got to understand what I'm saying. When you speak as Jesus, things begin to react like it did for Jesus.
Yes.
You curse it, it'll die. You tell it to live, it'll live. You tell it to multiply, it'll multiply when you do it in the name of Jesus. in the character, the name of Jesus, in the character of Jesus, the same way he looked at it, the same way he saw it, the same way he felt about it, the same way he thought about it, in the name of Jesus. When I speak it like Jesus, it's got to respond to me. But what I can't talk like nobody that I don't spend no time with. I don't even know. Look, what language y'all speak? Y'all speak English? Where y'all learn English at? Don't say in my English class, because you was talking before you got there. They taught you how to put them periods and them commas. And all that stuff like that and all that. But you ain't learned it over there. Where you learned it at? You hear I say learned it at, talking bad things. Where did you learn it at? Whoever you was around, you talk just like them. No. Right now, I don't care if you put on your hello, good morning. I don't care about that. My mama used to do that. My mama be lightning to me. Boy, if I tell you one more time, if I got to tell you one more time, your behind is mine. Go get the belt. She's talking to me like that. And the phone rings. She be, hello. I'm in the back screaming, whoever's on the other end of that line, come get her. Help. Help. She about to whoop me. You change their voice. Y'all know y'all do it. Hey, don't play with me up in the church right now. Y'all know y'all do it when y'all go to work and get around them people. Oh, good morning, team. Good morning, team. Good morning. Hello, how are you? I'm doing one. Y'all do it here at church too. I know y'all be doing it. I know. They don't want to be like, what's happening? What's good with you? I'm good. I know you put it on. We know how to put it on, don't we? Amen. Blessed and highly favored of the Lord right now. I already know what time that is. I've been around for a while, Corey. I already know what time that is. But you even learned that from somewhere. You ain't learned no blessed and highly favored until you've been around somebody saying blessed and highly favored. You ain't just pick up. I just woke up this morning and I realized blessed and highly favored. No, you heard somebody say it and they said it enough around you. Have you been around somebody and you was around them enough to where you started talking like them? Like you started using their phrases and you don't even like the phrase. Matter of fact, it aggravates you that they be saying it so much. But you keep hanging with them. You stay on the phone with them. You keep being around before you know it. Y'all the same person. Listen, watch this. And that's funny, and it's easy. That's easy to do, like, without any effort. It's restful to pick up personality. You just got to get in the presence. You just got to spend the time and let them talk to you. You never be with nobody and be like, I can't wait, I'm going to learn how to talk like you. As soon as I get around you, I'm going to learn how you talk, and I like your accent, so I'm going to talk. You just spend enough time. Spend enough time and you'll pick up the language. Church got a language too. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know you don't be walking around. You know that click off either when you get dressed in the morning for church. But it got a language. I'll go real quick. It's got a language. There's a language. There's a language that comes along with being in a certain culture. Or being in a certain environment. Like we say the blood of Jesus. Now right here in this place is safe. When I say, oh, the blood of Jesus. Right, we're calm, we're comfortable. Because we understand the blood of Jesus. But somebody that's not churched. I hadn't been around the blood of who? Who blood? What kind of foolishness is this? You ever thought about it? You ain't never thought about that before, huh? The things that we say that sometimes we even approach other people with that they haven't been versed in. You mess somebody head up. Oh, the blood. You need to be washed in the blood. Hold on, stop. Y'all so calm? Yeah, you're right. You need to be washed. No, calm down for a second. Think about washing in somebody's blood. Outside of here right now. That'll mess your head up. We're going to take communion this morning and say, drink this blood. I'm out. Now, you can pass that by me. I'm cool on that. But because we spent time We done learned, we got used to what we're saying, and we understand. When I say the blood of Jesus, everybody all calm in here. Because of the time that we've spent, we learned the language. Because of the time that we spent, we learned the accent and the talk. Sometimes you spend time with somebody so much, they say people start looking like each other. Y'all ever notice that? You know, sometimes you can, I believe that. Or sometimes you can spend time with somebody so much that you, your voice begins to sound like them. I walk in the house, I walk somewhere one day, and I heard Leroy Jr. talking. And I, when apostles come around, everybody, like, right? Like, okay, everything get tight. Yes, sir, you trying to act calm, but you know you ain't calm. It get tight, rightfully so, right? 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 So I'm on Leroy Jr. And I get tight for him too. But you know, it's different between the apostle but I heard his voice and he sounded like apostle, and immediately everything went. And when I saw him walk in, I was like, oh. But you're spending that time and you begin to sound like him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What voice does life hear when you speak? Who is that situation hearing when you start talking? Because if it hears Montreal, and I'm just talking for myself right now, you can talk for yourself right now. But if it hears Montreal, it's not guaranteed that it's going to move just with Montreal. Oh, but Jesus. Oh, but the Christ in me. When I begin to say it like Christ will say it, it's got to answer me like it answers Christ. But I can't sound like that if I don't spend no time. I can't sound like that if I don't spend no time with the person. I see these people, you see these preachers, they come around for a little while and they be around the apostle for a little while and then they go on about their business. They come and try to steal something. Got an anointing snatchers. Let me tell you something about the power of God. And the power of God is built on the personality of God. And so you're not going to walk in any power without getting a personality. There's a reason, I'm referring to Apostle again, there's a reason that he functions like he functions because of the personality that he's taking on. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So I would see these preachers come around. They, you know, y'all know Apostle. Apostle get in the spirit and he, shoo. Huh? Y'all familiar, about familiar with that yet? So these preachers are at their church talking about some shoo. Spitting all over people with no power. And thank God. And the Father made it that way for a reason. He made relationship that way for a reason. Because he needs us to relate to each other. He needs us to be connected. So he made it. He put in a man for a reason. I remember Lazarus said, the rich man and Lazarus, I ain't got time to go tell the story, but the rich man, Lazarus, that rich man died, went to hell and said, go tell my brothers. He said, if they don't hear the ones that's living, they ain't going to believe a ghost. So he puts it in a person so you can learn the personality. Can I help you shift something this morning? If I can help you shift something, say amen.
Amen.
When we come here, and even when we're around each other, when we come here, begin to pay attention to the personality. Mm-hmm. We get so excited about the power, right? And the miracles that Jesus did, the miracles, we're so excited about the miracles, we miss the man. Mm-hmm. The miracles are only a manifestation of who he is as a man. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. The miracles are a byproduct of his personality. Of who he is. So now he didn't say, come over here and I'm gonna teach you how to do these miracles. He said, come learn of me. Come learn who I am. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
Come on, say it again, say, I am.
I am.
One more time, real loud, say, I am.
I am.
Learn who I am. So that the same thing that I'm doing, you can do it because the same person that I am, you are. Personality always comes before power. The personality always comes before power. We were just talking about it a couple minutes ago. Because if you get the power without the personality, it's going to be a problem. If you get the power without the personality, you're going to do something crazy. So the personality becomes the prerequisite. It's the thing that you have to have before. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And I, this is why I tell you to get into these gospels and to read them, because sometimes I only got so much time with you this morning. And so I have to pick certain scriptures and go certain places, but the context is what gives you context. So you've got to read the context of what's going on in the situation. Matter of fact, I'll do a little bit. 23 is where I wanted to go, but let me go to verse 21. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and raised on the third day. Verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will, oh, there it is again. Come in the light, come over here, come be like me, come stand with me, come get this right here. If anybody will come after who? Now he ain't said, come, if anybody come after the ways I'm doing, no. Anybody come after the scripture? Anybody come after the synagogue? No, he makes it personal. Everybody say personal.
Personal.
If any man will come after me, I want you to read it. Verse 23 from the beginning, ready to read. How many, hold. How many of me said it too? They go that all again. It's for all y'all. It's for all of us. Huh? It's for all of us. And he said it to them all, read. Read that again. Just go, just start with any man. Go, ready to go. Sound like taking up the yoke. Take up the yoke. Take up the yoke. Take up my yoke. Take up the yoke. If any man will come after me, let him deny who?
Himself.
Deny who?
Himself.
Deny yourself. Yourself gets you in all the trouble you get into. Yourself is scary. Yourself is confused. Don't let this world system fool you. See, the world system, Jesus started talking, praying, saying, I pray you, thank you for the ones you gave me out of this world. We hear the word talking about a system. There's a system that's going on ever since the beginning when they ate from that other tree. There's a system that goes on that's trying to get you to think you're somebody else. And so sometimes even that system will let you work it a little bit so you think that you're making some progress. But guarantee it's building on sand. I guarantee you, some of y'all done bust your head before I have. You thought I had it. Look, I was making progress. It's been a good year. Look, all the good stuff happened. Wow, pull that rug from under your feet. Now you laying on the ground bleeding out from your head and you don't know what happened. Because it's sand and not a rock. Are y'all understanding me? He said, don't build your house on the sand. The sand is everything outside of Christ. Christ is the rock. Everything outside of that is sand. It's. Listen, I'm sure when he gave it, I'm sure that man built that house on that sand and it probably looked good. They probably had all the windows and the roof and everything it's supposed to have. It was a good little house. Right? And I'm sure it was standing there for a minute. But soon as the rain and the wind came, and it said, beat up on that house. It said, beat up on that house. It fell because it was not founded on the rock. This world system is saying, let me tell y'all something, we're not going to be here forever. You better get an eternal mindset. I learned recently. You get caught up on a bunch of things and forget what you learned. You get caught up on a bunch of sand because you know you made out of sand. Huh? Yeah, y'all. You're going to take your dress off or your little shirt off, whatever you're going to do, your change clothes. You're going to have a little ring around there, a little dirt. Come on, y'all. I don't get dirty. I don't be airing up. Who almost? You're going to have that little ring around whatever it is. You're going to have that little stuff under your arm. That sweat bleed right through that deodorant. It just go. That dust coming off of you. Yo, but watch. You ain't got to go play ball. You ain't got to go hoop. You ain't got to go roll out in the dirt. Just sit there long enough. You dust. You sand. Don't build on the sand. See, I don't need you to build on my faith. I don't need you to build on me. Because if I'm not here, you're going to fail. Because you're built on me. You're built on my faith. You're built on how I believe. Now, I'm teaching you how I believe so you can believe the same thing that I believe so we all be on the rock. But everything else is sand. And it's going to hit you in the car. You might not hit you right now. It might not feel too spiritual or deep right now. But everything else is sand. It's all sand. You leave your car outside long enough without driving it in a certain place and it's going to rust. You leave your house or wherever you live and don't go back for a long, 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 long time. It's sand. It's all sand. You ain't living until you find the rock. The rock that you are. Luke, go back and put the scripture, Luke 9, 23. If any man, read it, ready, read. Come after me. And he said, come after me, after me. Come in the light and come after me. Just come after me. Come like me. Come behind me. Come be like me after me. Like I'm gonna show you how to be, then after me, you can be the same way. Right? Like whoever come after me, I show them my example, and they look just like me when they come after me, right? 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 If any man will come after me, what he gotta do? Let him. Everybody say let. Come on, I gotta get it. Let him deny himself. So let him. Flipping 2:5 said, let this mind. Let is allowing. That means I'm not gonna force you. I have to let you deny yourself. And who gotta deny you? You. You got to deny your own self. And there go that take again. Everybody say, take it. And go that take again. And take up his cross. And do what? All of those are things we gotta do, Doug. That's stuff we gotta do. That's not something that he gonna swoop in and save the day for us. That's not the Holy Spirit is gonna do this for me. No, you gotta do it. I found out the other day. And I'm just praying in Matthew 6, 9, the Lord's Prayer wasn't really asking God to go do something. It was asking me to have an understanding of myself. It was asking God to let me know that as thy kingdom come in earth, the same way it is with you in heaven, it's right here on the inside of me. But let me understand this, please. When you pray, pray like this. When you request prayer, when you request to understand your identity. See, we're requesting for things to be done, but the things that need to be done had to be done by you, so you got to know who you are to do them. Are y'all understanding me? Ain't nobody coming in to save your day. Ain't no great hero coming in and swooping in and taking you. You the hero. You the hero that's supposed to be swooping. Come on, say, I'm the hero. Come on, I know this different because we're used to praying for things to happen. But you're the thing that you need to be praying to happen. Like you happen. If you happen, other people are happen. See, if something come out the sky and blow up and do all this other stuff, then it's going to look like something else and people going to think that they can't do it. So Jesus had to come down in the flesh and do the things and be the person that he was, so you had no excuse. So now, deny himself. Sometimes denying myself means denying them old ways that mama them taught me. My grandma them taught me that didn't look like Christ. And God bless them for all that. But they got some ways that we learned that don't look like Christ. Amen. Amen. And all these things I learned in school. And I learned in school for all them years I went to school. And all this stuff that didn't look like Christ. I got to deny that in me. I got to deny myself and take up the cross. And I wrote something down. Let me get it real quick. Because there's a few points in there and I'm going to say them real fast. It's a daily denial of self. How many times you got to do it daily? You got to do it every day. You don't do it on Sunday. You don't do it on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever the meeting come around or whatever. No, it's a daily. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross. When? Daily. It's a daily denial. And you got to do it all day long. Not just in the morning, your devotion time. What is that anyway? What is your devotion time? What is that? So to me, the other time you ain't devoted? If that's, amen, everybody say amen.
Amen.
If this is my devotion time right here, devotion time right here, then what's all this other stuff? Self. Everybody say self.
Self.
Come on, so I pray real hard in the spirit in the morning and read the scripture in the morning for my devotion. No, your whole day is devoted. My father taught me something. He said, practice. I've said this over. He said, practice the presence of the Lord. Yeah. I didn't know what that meant until now. The practice of the personality. I can keep him on my mind all day long. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Now, I was trying to figure out what that take up the cross mean. I said, well, what did the cross do? Well, what did Jesus do at the cross? Well, Jesus, at the cross, Jesus paid the price. Amen. Thank God for the cross. Amen. Thank God for Jesus dying on the cross. Amen. At the cross, Jesus paid the price. So now he talking about me. This scripture is just like love your neighbor like you love yourself. It's the same scripture. Deny yourself, take up the cross. Deny yourself, take up the cross. Deny yourself and pay the price for somebody else. Daily, you got to be ready to pay the price for somebody else. And this is another cue. See, the power ain't just for you. The power ain't just for you to get your stuff done and what you need to get handled and all that. The power is really for everybody that you come in contact with. And you get blessed in the process. Are you understanding? Deny yourself and take up the cross daily and follow him. It's an action. It's a definite decision of faith that you got to believe is something that you have to actively do. You got to follow. If I say, Doug, follow me. Follow me. Come on, Lord, follow me, please. Come on, please. Follow me, come on. Follow me. It's an active decision. They heard me. They listen to me, so they're choosing to walk like me. Now if Doug decided to get in front of me, then it's a problem because he ain't following me no more. So you got to follow me, right? I don't care which way he die. I don't care which way he go. Oh, no, Lord, my seat over there. I ain't asked you where your seat was. Just follow me. Maybe I got a better seat for you. Just follow me. And when I stop, stand still. Then we turn around, we go another way. Because I don't know what's over there, but Jesus know. Jesus know what's over there. So thank you. It's an active. Thank you. It's an active. Thank you. It's an active. You've got to decide. It's not religious either. It's an active decision that all this other stuff, I got to put it down to see where he walking. I want to see where he's walking and how he's walking so I can walk the same way in the same place at the same time. But it's something that we got to do. Even related to our apostle, even relating to him coming minister to us and giving us the word and giving us revelation, it becomes the same process. You have to pay attention and you have to follow. That's what connection means. Are you understanding me? And so when direction comes, and it may not be the thing that you think you ought to do, or the thing that your mind didn't figure out, but you look what your mind done got you. How that's working out for you. Amen. You've got to follow me as I follow Christ. It's an active decision. It's not an accident. Nobody's going to make you do it. And I just keep realizing that he keep on saying all. All y'all, say it's for me. Come on, say it again, say it's for me. Come on, say he's talking to me. Come on, say he's talking to me right now. Not tomorrow, he's in tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Not when you finish ministry school, no. Not when you get ordained, no. Amen. Stand on your feet.